بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله العليم الخبير، الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير. فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير، ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن المصدقين والمصدقات وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا يضاعف لهم ولهم أجر كريم. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ما نقصت صدقة من مال، وما زاد الله بعبد وما زاد الله عبدا بعفو إلا عزا، وما تواضع أحد لله إلا رفعه. أو كما قال. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, this world by design is not a place of compensation. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, this world by design is not a place of compensation nor retribution. By design, it wasn't designed for the compensation of any person nor the retribution. Occasionally Allah compensates in this world, and occasionally the criminal is subjected to retribution. But the place of compensation and the place of retribution is Akhirah. فَلَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا جَزَاءً لِمُحْسِنٍ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا مَعَاشٌ لِظَالِمٍ لَقَدْ جَاعَ فِيهَا الْأَنْبِيَاءُ كَرَامَةً وَقَدْ شَبِعَتْ فِيهَا بُطُونُ الْبَهَائِمِ. The Arabic proverb is very profound. If this world was a place of compensation, لَوْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا جَزَاءً لِمُحْسِنٍ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا مَعَاشٌ لِظَالِمٍ, then the oppressor and the tyrant would have not enjoyed any food or provision. But on the contrary, simply because this world is not a place of retribution, لَقَدْ جَاعَ فِيهَا الْأَنْبِيَاءُ كَرَامَةً, there are numerous tales of prophets who had to tie stones to their belly due to the pangs of hunger, poverty and penury. وَقَدْ شَبِعَتْ فِيهَا بُطُونُ الْبَهَائِمِ. Leave the tyrants, leave the dictators, leave the oppressors, even the predators are eating a better meal than many of the prophets. That's the proof that this world is not a place of compensation. So don't be disturbed, alarmed or perplexed by the happenings, the clemency and the grace and respite afforded to the tyrant, or the hurdles, challenges and impediments in the life of the noble. It was never meant to compensate the pious in this world, nor was it meant for the retribution of the sinner. In the 12th juz, in the opening page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْ إِنَّهُ لَيَؤُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. وَلَئِنْ and if أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً, we made man taste mercy, kindness, favor, gave him prosperity, ease, comfort. ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْ, and then we snatched it, we seized it, we pulled the plug on him. إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. The temperament, the nature of man is that he becomes despondent and ungrateful. Then Allah says, reverse the scenario, flip the coin. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ نَعْمَاءَ بَعْدَ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتْهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي. In the first instance, Allah says, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً. Allah blessed the person with prosperity and ease. And when Allah snatched the ease, he became ungrateful and despondent. In the second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a person was going through extended difficulty and hardship for a prolonged period. Things were challenging in his life. And post the adversity, we blessed him with prosperity. So instead of learning from his previous years of difficulty, when prosperity came his way, he became arrogant. And he says, ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي. My tough days are done now. I just went through a bad patch in my life. I'm on top of the situation now. Those difficulties will not be repeated in my life. This is how arrogant. So he went through a tough period, and then Allah blessed him with prosperity. One would think, imagine, and assume that the days of hardship would soften him down, would mellow him down. But Allah says, no. What happens to man? وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ ضَرَّاءَ مَسَّتُهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي. Tough days are gone, hardships are over. إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. He becomes haughty, arrogant, and he becomes boastful. Now, apart from the fact that the Quran in both these instances highlights the temperament and the nature of man, both of which is incorrect, because prosperity must bring gratitude and adversity must bring tolerance, the scholars focus on one particular phrase adopted by Allah in the mention, and that's the beauty of the Quran. In the mention of both these scenarios, they highlight the fact that Allah says, وَلَا إِنْ أَذَقْنَا وَلَا إِنْ أَذَقْنَا. And if we made man taste prosperity, and if we made man taste adversity, and they expound on this portion of the ayah, impressing upon us that the text of the Quran releases a hint suggesting the fact that in life there is no real prosperity and there is no real adversity. It's just tasting both. The real prosperity is in Akhirah. Allah says, أَذَقْنَا أَذَقْنَا. It's just the start. It's just the beginning. You just tasted it. When you compare the comfort of this world to the bounties, the privileges of Jannah, should I say it's an insult to compare? It's an insult to begin to compare. And when you compare the pain and the difficulty and the adversity of this world to the pain and the torment and the affliction of hell, wallahi, there is absolutely no comparison of any form. So that's my opening remarks. Keep this in mind. Because if you don't keep this in mind, that this world is not the place of compensation and retribution, then you will allow for devilish indoctrination. But that's a noble man. He lives an upright life. He's going through so many challenges. On the reverse, this man is sinful, he's wicked, he's evil, he's transgressors, and things are working well for him. It's not the place of results. That's Akhirah. Now I want to share with you a comprehensive formula of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by virtue of which we can make our stay on earth meaningful. And it could only be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who could share such an amazing formula that we maximize our time and we navigate through the high tides. We navigate through the stormy waters. We navigate through the gusty winds as we try and move forward with our vessel, trying to rescue it from nudging against an iceberg and getting across to shore. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that's the hadith that we're going to focus on, three prophetic declarations, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. Chapter closed, done deal. Charity never decreased the wealth of any human. Full stop. Not my words, not my assumption, not my experience. divine declaration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu anhu used to say, إِذَا مَاتَ السَّخِيُّ when a generous person passes away, قَالَتِ الْأَرْضُ the earth calls out and says, رَبِّي تَجَاوَزْ عَنْ عَبْدِكَ بِسَخَائِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. O my Lord, this man was very, very generous while he was alive. We ask you to pardon and to overlook his mistakes and grant him Jannah, the earth on which we walk. وَإِذَا مَاتَ الْبَخِيلُ and that's the words of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. وَإِذَا مَاتَ الْبَخِيلُ and when a miser passes away, قَالَتِ الْأَرْضُ the very earth that we inhabit calls out and says, اللَّهُمَّ احْجُبْ هَذَا الْعَبْدَ عَنِ الْجَنَّةِ كَمَا حَجَبَ عِبَادُكَ عَمَّا جَعَلْتَ فِي يَدَيْهِ. Oh Allah, you blessed this person with wealth. He withheld it. He did not share it. He did not spend it. Just as he denied your bondsman the favor you conferred upon him, oh Allah, you deny him entry into paradise. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to say, تَاجِرُ اللَّهَ بِالصَّدَقَ تُرْبِحُ. You've done business with everyone. Why don't you start doing business with Allah by giving charity? And I swear by Allah, it's a win-win situation. These are the words of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he walked the talk, right? تَاجِرُ اللَّهَ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Three prophetic declarations. We're going to move on. Give charity and do business with Allah. تُرْبِحُ. You are winning at any cost and every level. Imam Sha'bi rahimahullah used to say, مَنْ لَمْ يَرَ نَفْسَهُ إِلَى ثَوَابِ الصَّدَقَةِ أَحْوَجِ من الفقير إلى صدقته فقد أبطل صدقته وضرب بها وجهه. The donor who does not consider himself more in need of the reward than the recipient is of the food or the money has actually destroyed his own donation. Wow, did you get that? What did he say? The donor who doesn't consider, listen my brother, you need food, you need money, you need shelter. Excellent. I am in need of the reward of the donation more than you need this. So like 2 years ago, I was in a camp in Jordan and we were distributing some aid pre-Ramadan in the Azraq camp for Syrian refugees. It was literally the day before Ramadan. And as we were distributing along and we were congratulating them, wishing them well, living in a small, simple, basic, average hut, nothing lavish. And it was an eye-opener and you distributing. And then came a mother out, she accepted the rice and the oil that we gave her. And I was asked to hand it over, which I did. And then there was a crack in her voice and a tear in her eye. And she called her young son, probably 12 years of age, and he came out. And as he came out, she said, Brother Sheikh, I appreciate the food that you gave me, but I don't mind returning this food to you if you can do something more wholesome for me in lieu of this. So I stood back and I said, sorry sister, please tell me how can we assist. The young boy came and this is happening in front of me. He had a prosthetic right hand and he had an artificial left leg. Now you would know that as a child grows, because the organ is not natural, it needs modification. It needs to be adjusted. But obviously those medical facilities are not available. And so because as the child is growing, the prosthetic hand cannot be adjusted, the child no longer has mobility in his hand. He no longer has mobility in his hand. So, obviously, I was moved to tears and we communicated it with the authorities there and they followed up on it. And at that time, the thought crossed my heart and mind, while the every child today has multiple devices in his hand, perusing unsavory and porn and doing, you know, going into evil sites, here's a boy in the world at the same time in which our children might be abusing and exploiting their devices, crying out desperately for some aid so that functionality and mobility could be restored. We moved on and we distributed some homes. So it's these containerized homes for people living in the deserts of Arabia who were compelled to leave and flee their native land by circumstances. And the lorry and the truck would bring the container home, and then it would be offloaded, and then I would be asked to hand over the keys to the family. I wish you could travel with me as my mind races back to that place. We enter this tent, enveloped in dust. The brother ushers us in. We sit down. It's a simple, small, basic tent. I rotate my gaze, and on the wall of the tent, if I may call it a wall, it's just a net, I find a certificate there, not laminated in a fancy, colorful plaque, but a basic certificate pegged to the net of the tent. Curiosity intrigues me. I inch forward and I see in Arabic it's written that the little girl, 8 years old, walks 4 kilometers daily to the closest school, and she has excelled in academics and she has taken the first position. For me, that's a hero. For me, that's knowledge. For me, that's amazing. And I've been saying it in all my travels in different parts of the world. And I know many of the students might be going into exams, and may Allah grant them ease and success. But we live in the lap of luxury, we return in the lap of luxury. I asked the father, and then I will resume with the hadith that I was discussing. Now that we've handed over this container to you, is there anything in particular that you can share with us in describing your happiness that you will relocate from a tent to a containerized home? I shudder to call it a home because, trust me, it's nothing as a home. But yes, it is better than where he was. And his words were, and it gives me a shiver in my back, and I'm in the house of Allah. He said, at night, because of my kid, the toddler, he would fall off to sleep, and I would stay awake to make sure there's no snakes or harmful insects or scorpions. Now that we are in a solid structure, wallahi thumma wallahi, I'm in the house of Allah, this is what he said. Now that we're in a solid structure, I don't fear I can fall off to sleep knowing my kid would be safe. Imam Shafi said, مَنْ لَمْ يَرَ نَفْسَهُ إِلَىٰ تَوَابِ الصَّدَقَةِ أَحْوَجْ مِنَ الْفَقِيرِ إِلَىٰ صَدَقَتِهِ فَقَدْ أَبْطَلَ صَدَقَتَهُ. If you don't believe that you need, this is the desperation of the recipient. You know, mashallah to the imam, he recited so beautiful. My mind was running in those verses, and this is what I cry about. We're not connecting ourselves to the Quran. If we connect, then every time we listen to the prayer, Allah is giving us a fresh dosage. Allah is giving us a fresh reminder. So in the verses that were recited of the 11 juz of Surah Tawbah, Allah says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take from their wealth. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, take from their wealth. صَدَقَة, charity. تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, that by virtue of their donation, it will purify them. The scholars say there's two benefits to donation amongst others. A, it becomes basic provision for the recipient. B, it purifies the donor from greed. It purifies, the more you spend, the more you free yourself from greed. But between the two needs, the need of purifying the donor from greed is a greater need than fulfilling the need of the recipient. In other words, reaching out to him is paramount, it's utmost. But more important than that is that the duty remains. Hence, zakat remains even if you don't find someone. It's not like, you know what, everybody's wealthy, I don't have to. That need continues. It will never cease because I have to flush my system out of greed. And the way I do it is by spending. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu used to say, مَا مَاتَ لِي قَرَابَةٌ وَعَلَيْهِ دَيْنٌ إِلَّا قَضَيْتُهُ عَنْهُ. Wow. Look at them. You think with a business mind. You think with a commercial mind. You think as an entrepreneur. You think with that skill. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, whenever any relative of mine passed away in my entire family, and he left behind debts, with the grace of Allah, I settled the debts of every family member in my entire family. Ahmad Rifa'i rahimahullah used to say, "Inna salata ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tusahhilu al-murur ala as-sirat wa taj'alu ad-du'a mustajaban was sadaqa fi al-layl tudfi'u ghadab Allah." That sending salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make it easy for a person to cross the bridge on the day of Qiyamah. Tusahhilu al-murur ala as-sirat wa taj'alu ad-du'a mustajaban. Your prayers will be answered. And charity by night secretly. Charity by night secretly will extinguish the wrath of Allah. The Arabic poet said, يَبْكِي عَلَى الذَّاهِبِ مِنْ مَالِهِ وَإِنَّمَا يَبْقَى الَّذِي يَذْهَبُ. Foolish indeed is man. He laments the wealth that he spent and is gone in donation. Only if he could realize what is gone actually remains. Only if he can understand what is gone, it actually remains. And you know what, my brother? And you know what, my sister? We can never think that we are sitting in the zone, soft, anchored, and we are here permanently. The tale of the Quran is very amazing. إِنَّ الْأَيْدِي أَلَّتِي أَلْقَتْ يُوسُفَ فِي الْبِئْرِ نفس الأيدي التي امتدت إليه ذليلة. The very hands that plotted against Yusuf, the brothers of Yusuf, who took their own sibling and they plotted against him, and they came and they dropped him in the well. With the passage of time, those very hands came back to Yusuf when he had assumed the throne. And they came begging before him, Ya ayyuhal azizu massana wa ahlana ad-durru wa ji'na bi bida'a wa ji'na bi bida'atin muzjatin fa awfilana al-kayla wa tasaddaq alayna inna Allah yajzil mutasaddiqin. Ya ayyuhal aziz, O King, Your Excellency, Masana wa ahlana ad-durr, us and our family have been gripped in famine and adversity. وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ, I'm giving you a verbatim translation. وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ, and we've come to you with fake money, counterfeit. فَأَوْفِ لَنَا الْكَيْلِ, but give us corn and give us measure in full. وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا, be charitable towards us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْزِي الْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ, Allah loves those that are charitable. These were the very hands that plotted against this brother Yusuf. But Allah reversed the table. Allah turned the scenario. Today they come in with their begging bowls before that brother. So no person can think I'm sitting where I am and I'm fixed here and I'm anchored here. That's the trait of a munafiq. A believer fears his Lord can strike at any time. A believer fears, knows and understands, my Lord can strike on my health and my wealth, on my family and my assets at any time. And hence I got to constantly show my commitment and my diligence. And to feel I'm safe and I'm done and I'm okay. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Do they feel safe against the chastisement of Allah? Well, that's the lot of the losers. Let's go through some narrations. So the hadith is in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he told his honorable spouses and consorts, أَسْرَعُكُنَّ لِحَاقًا بِي أَطْوَلُكُنَّ يَدًا أَسْرَعُكُنَّ لِحَاقًا بِي أَطْوَلُكُنَّ يَدًا. This is the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his honorable spouses, consorts radiyallahu anhunna, post my demise, the first amongst you to be reunited with me in akhirah will be the one with the longest hand. The one with the longest hand. The one to be reunited with me will be the one with the longest hand. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, فَكُنَّا إِذَا اجْتَمَعْنَا فِي بَيْتِ إِحْدَانَا بَعْدَ وَفَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَمُدُّ أَيْدِينَا عَلَى الْجِدَارِ نَتَطَاوَلْ. That after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever we would assemble, and you know, tears come in my eyes when I read this narration. This is not a reunion of siblings, a reunion of daughter-in-laws. This is a reunion of the consorts of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you appreciate the richness of this assembly? These women selected by Allah for the partnership, for the wedlock, for the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, because each woman wanted to move on after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, and Allah categorically says that it's forbidden for any of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry post his demise. And apart from it being forbidden, the truth be told, no woman would ever want to marry anyone after you were married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's just not going to happen. وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمًا. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, we used to place our hands against the wall, and we used to measure. We used to measure and see who has the longest hand. حَتَّى تُوفِّيَتْ زَيْنَبُ radiallahu anha. Until Zainab radiallahu anha passed away. وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَةً قَصِيرَةً. And the truth be told, from all of us, Zainab was the shortest in her height and her physique. فَعَرَفْنَا حِينَ إِذٍ أَنَّ طُولَ الْيَدِ الْمُرَادْ بِهِ الصَّدَقَةِ. When Zainab radiallahu anha passed away, despite being the shortest amongst us, we now understood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reference to the longest hand was metaphorical in generosity and not literal in the height of the hand or the height of the individual. You know, in English they say a man is never so tall like when he stoops to help a child. A man is never so tall like when he bows down. So you drop him down, but you're standing tall in your character. You're standing tall in your integrity. A man is never so tall like when he stoops down to help a child. And that is the value. It's not your physical height. It's not your physical hand. But it is the hand that gives. So Zainab radiallahu anha had the longest hand. It's mentioned about her. She would knit, she would sew, she would spun the wool, and then she would donate it. And it was this continuous generosity which privileged her to be reunited first with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that reminds me of another narration where once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the noble companions, and he told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to hop on the tree and pluck something. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu climbed. And as he climbed onto the tree, his shin got exposed. A portion of his leg, his shin got exposed. So when the companion seen the shin of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, فَنَظَرَ أَصْحَابُهُ إِلَىٰ حُمُوشَةِ سَاقَيْهِ وَكَانَتْ دَقِيقَةً نَحِيفًا. Now you know, you might know a person for a long time. And probably you traveled as well. But you didn't know he was bald, and no offense to anyone who's bald, right? Or probably he never unbuttoned his garment, and you didn't know he was fairly hairy, and no offense to anyone, right? So anyway, you're traveling, and now you relax, and the guy takes out his hat, and he takes out his upper. I'm like, wow, brother, wow, man, like, I didn't know this. So you know each other, but you don't know certain personal things. So they knew Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, but they didn't know that his shin, his leg was very lean, weak, thin and petite. So when he climbs up and they observe that his leg, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's leg was very thin, so the Sahaba had a chuckle. They said, oh, okay, really? Wow. I'm paraphrasing, but the narration, فَضَّحِكُوا مِنْ حُمُوشَةِ سَاقَيْهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma tadhhakun? What's the giggle and the laughter and the chuckle about? لَرِجْلُ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودِ أَثْقَلْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحُدِ. I swear by Allah, the thin, weak, petite leg of Ibn Mas'ud will carry more weight on the day of Qiyamah in the scales of good deed than the weight of Mount Uhud. Listen to the next narration. Wow. May Allah make us charitable. Ma'mar says, حَدَّثَنَا شَيْخٌ لَنَا. I heard this from one of my teachers. Abdul Razzaq and Hakim make mention, and academically they say, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ عَلَى شَرْطِ الشَّيْخَيْنِ وَلَمْ يُخَرِّجَاهُ. This narration enjoys the equal authenticity of Bukhari and Muslim, though it has not been recorded by Shaykhain. But in terms of authenticity, it is fully authentic. He says, أَنَّمْ رَأَةً جَاءَتْ إِلَى بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So, just to recap, we're talking of the three prophetic declarations. That the Prophet ﷺ gives us a formula. He gives us a formula how to navigate, how to move along in life. That this is the plan of action. And this is how you're going to conduct yourself. So a woman once came to one of the spouses of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and another narration says it was Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said, "Ud'i Allah ta'ala an yutliqa yadi." Oh my mother Aisha radiallahu anha, please pray to Allah that He must release my hand. My hand is paralyzed. My hand is in spasm. There's no movement in my hand. Please pray to Allah that Allah must release my hand. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, and what's the matter with your hand? What happened? When? Why? How? So she said, and listen, I gave you the reference of the narration. She said, كَانَ أَبِي يُحِبُّ الصَّدَقَةِ. My dad loved charity. كَانَ كَثِيرَ الْمَعْرُوفِ كَثِيرَ الْفَضْلِ. A day wouldn't lapse in the life of my dad but that he would give charity. On the reverse was my mom. She was very apprehensive. She was very tight with her fist. She would barely spend. In fact, in her whole life, I only recall her spending two things. تَصَدَّقَتْ بِشَحْمَةٍ. We had once slaughtered a cow and she took not some meat but some fat of the animal and she gave it in charity. And she had a piece of cloth, أَلْبَسَتْهُ مِسْكِينًا. She gave it to a beggar and a pauper. She says, here's a piece of cloth for you. And she gave one piece of fat from the cow to a beggar. That was about it in terms of charity in the life of my mother. I seen a dream. She's mentioning to Aisha radiallahu anha, and I gave you the whole academic write-up on the narration. I seen a dream, كَأَنَّ الْقِيَامَةَ قَدْ قَامَتْ. It's like I'm seeing Qiyamah. And I wouldn't quote this if it wasn't authentic. And I'm seeing like it's Qiyamah. And I walk ahead and I see my dad. And my dad is standing at the pond. And my dad is giving water out to people at the pond. And this is precisely what my father loved. His whole life was to help and to give. And I'm seeing him happy, his smile, he's excited, he's elated, he's jubilant, he's relaxed, he's calm, and he's giving water. So I greeted my dad. He responded. I said, وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ أُمِّي? Dad, any clue? Where's mom? So my dad responded, أَوَمَاتَتْ. Has your mother, my wife, passed away? So I said, yes. So my dad said, I have no clue. She's narrating this to Aisha radiallahu anha, this was her dream. And she came and she said her hand was locked, it was in spasm, it was paralyzed. So I walked forward, and as I came forward, I seen my mom standing in isolation. My mom was in an appalling state. My mom was in a pitiful state. There was nothing to clad her body other than the one piece of cloth that she had once given in charity. وَفِي إِحْدَى يَدَيْهَا شَحْمَةً تَضْرِبُ بِهَا فِي يَدِهَا الْأُخْرَى. And she had the piece of fat in one hand and she flings it onto the other hand back and forth, up and down. And she's saying, wa atsha, wa atsha. Oh, I just cannot take this thirst anymore. I just cannot take the thirst anymore. So I came to my mom and I said, Ala asqik. Oh, mom, can I give you something to drink? She's like, please, my daughter, do so. So I dash back to my dad. I take a vessel from around the pond. I fill some water and I run back to my mom and I offer the vessel brimming with water to my mom, who's scantily dressed and extremely embarrassed and experiencing severe thirst. As I present the vessel to my mom and she starts drinking the water, نُودِيَ مِنْ فَوْقٍ عَلَى مَنْ سَقَاهَا شُلَّتْ يَدُهُ. As I present the vessel to my mom, a proclaimer proclaims, a announcer announces, who's trying to quench the thirst of those who we keep thirsty? May your hand be paralyzed. May your hand be paralyzed. فَاسْتَيْقَظْتُ وَقَدْ شُلَّتْ يَدِي. I opened my eyes and my hand was paralyzed, O Aisha, and I have never enjoyed movement or mobility in my hand again. The narration ends there, and Aisha radiallahu anha doesn't say anything further to her. My word, can you imagine the severity, the intensity, the supreme horror of the day of Qiyamah, and due to not spending, this is the consequences that even in a dream, it had ripple effects on her daughter. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, then at that time, there wasn't water available. So there was a well that belonged to a person from the Banu Ghifar tribe. كَانَ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن بَنِي غِفَارْ عَيْنٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ رُومَ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen, sell me this well. I want to make the water available. And then I will give you a well in Jannah. These are the words of the hadith Tabrani. بِعْنِيهَا بِعَيْنٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Sell me this and I will give you. So he said, no, I will not be able to do this. I have my family, it's the source of income, livelihood, etc., etc. فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ عُثْمَانِ. The message reaches the ears of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, أَتَجْعَلُ لِي مِثْلَ مَا جَعَلْتَ لَهُ إِنِ اشْتَرَيْتُهَا عَيْنًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. O Prophet of Allah, tell me, is this deal only for him or is the deal open to all? If I buy this and I donate it, will you give me a spring in Jannah? Prophet said, it's open to anyone and everyone. He said, okay, it's a done deal, O Prophet of Allah. فَاشْتَرَاهَا عُثْمَانُ بِخَمْسٍ وَثَلَاثِينَ أَلْفْ دِرْهَمٍ. Uthman radiallahu anhu then purchases it for 35,000 dirhams and he gives it in charity. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَمَا دَامَ الْمَالُ فِي يَدِكْ فَهُوَ قَلِيلٌ وَبِالصَّدَقَةِ يَسِيرُ كَثِيرٌ وَمَا دَامَ الْمَالُ فِي يَدِكْ فَهُوَ فَانٍ وَبِالصَّدَقَةِ يَسِيرُ بَاقِيًا. The ulama ikram explain from this verse, as long as the money is with you, it's perishable. Once you gave it to Allah, it's non-perishable because now it remains forever. As long as the wealth is with you, it is limited because Allah said, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. That whatever provisions in this world is, it's limited. Once you gave it in charity, it's abundant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَصَّرَ تَضْعِيفَ الْحَسَنَاتِ بِالْعَشْرَةِ وَقَرَّنَ ثَوَابَ الصَّدَقَةِ بِالْكَثْرَةِ وَمَا سَمَّاهُ اللَّهُ كَثِيرًا فَلَا حَدَّ لَهُ. Averagely, commonly, Allah has paid the reward of a virtue to multiply it 10 times. But when it comes to charity, Allah doesn't say 10. Allah says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Who's ready to give charity? We will multiply it many times. Now I want to mention an incident. this notion, this myth, today I'll have, I will give, I'm afraid that's a fallacy. To give from what you have, regardless of the economic restraints and conditions, that is the time Allah gives you in abundance. Abu Nu'aym makes mention of the narration. Abdurrahman ibn Jabir narrates it. He says, حدثتني مولات أبي أمامة. Abu Nu'aym, and it's in Hayat al-Sahaba in the fourth volume as well, المال من حيث لا يحتسب. Wealth from unknown sources. That's the heading. So, Abdurrahman ibn Jabir says, the slave girl of Abu Umama narrated, she was not a Muslim. She narrated this to me. She said, Kana Abu Umama yuhibbu sadaqa. Kana Abu Umama yuhibbu sadaqa wa yajma' laha. Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu loved giving charity. Nay, he used to save up money to give charity. You ever heard of that? You saving up for a holiday, you saving up to buy a new house, saving up to help someone. Wow. وَمَا يَرُدُّ سَائِلًا. He never declined a beggar. وَلَوْ بِبَصْلَةٍ أَوْ بِتَمْرَةٍ أَوْ بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا يُوكَلْ. Whether he gave a simple onion or a date or something edible, but he never declined. One day, he had 3 dinars. فَأَتَاهُ سَائِلْ. A beggar came, he gave him 1 dinar. ثُمَّ أَتَاهُ سَائِلْ. Then another beggar came, he gave a second one. The focus is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma naqasat sadaqatun min malin." Charity never decreased the wealth. Chapter closed. It's over. It's done. The assurance is divine. It will never happen. A third beggar came. He gave the 3rd dinar. So the slave girl who was not a Muslim, she said, "I protested, and I said to him, 'Lam tatruk lana shay'a.'" You give charity, you spend freely, but you don't leave anything at home. He said nothing. وَكَانَ يَوْمَئِذٍ صَائِمًا. And the best part of it is, he gave the last dime in his provision, and on that day when he gave the last dinar, he himself was fasting, so there was nothing left for Maghrib. Wow. You know, I must mention this, I was giving a talk to some businessmen, and I said this to them, and the one businessman came to me and he said, "May Allah bless you, you opened my eyes up to a reality I never thought." And I said, "Alhamdulillah, this is the Quran and Sunnah, but I'm grateful that it inspired you." From a worldly perspective, from a material eye, from a consumer perspective, in a marketing world today, if you want to inject growth in your business, you want to increase your potential, then the common way, the norm is, you bring prominent people on board. You get a celebrity to market your item. You get someone famous to carry your brand. And as they carry your brand, you get prominence, you get mileage, you get coverage, and it generates revenue. But do you know what? From a religious and Islamic perspective, it's the direct opposite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَهَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. You are sustained by virtue of the weak and the vulnerable amongst you. The more you bring the weak in your business, the more you inject growth in your returns. So the more you bring people, employ someone, he's, you know what, physically challenged, employ someone, he doesn't really have an income, he's not so skilled, let's just give him, put him at the, you know what, to answer the phone, or just tell him to perhaps man the door, give him some employment, we bring in the weak in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You are sustained and you will enjoy sustenance because of the weak and the feeble and the vulnerable amongst you." A good friend of mine's in the UK. I'm quoting the hadith. He's crying. After the talk, he comes up to me. He says, "I'm a living testimony of this. There was a child in the neighborhood who was physically challenged, so he went to an exclusive school that would deal with kids of this nature. And after he completed his cycle and he was done with his schooling according to that level, nobody would employ him. It became quite challenging for his parents to look after him. How does he pass the day? So he said, I took the initiative to take him on board, more to appease his parents and nothing else. He said, Wallahi thumma wallah. From the day this physically challenged person came in my business, my sales have doubled and tripled and it continues to grow. Halima Sa'diya picked up the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because she didn't get anyone else. That's why she said, listen, we cannot go back without a child, so let's pick up someone. And no sooner she embraced this orphan, because there was no monetary return here, it was an orphan. So where were you going to get money? Suddenly the camel was moving swiftly. The udders were brimming with milk. Prosperity was falling in her lap. And her husband, who was known as Abu Kabsha, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِي الْأَصْفَرِ in Bukhari in Kitab al-Iman in the first page, when Hiraqal had summoned Abu Sufyan. And that's the time when he came out and he said, indeed the faith of Abu Kabsha. And there's academic discussion why the Prophet ﷺ is referred to as Abu Kabsha. And one is that it was the title and the kunniya of the husband of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha. O my husband, it's not me, it's the child. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? You want growth? Bring the weak on board. Help the weak. They are sustaining you, you're not sustaining them. They generate in the revenue. Completely the opposite of what the world teaches you. I'm not denying or refuting. I'm giving you the prophetic formula. So she says, I protested and I said, you give in charity. And you know what? We don't have anything. فَوَضَعَ رَأْسَهُ لِلْقَائِلَةِ فَنَامِ He puts his head down to sleep and he falls off to sleep. And while I'm on the note of siesta, you know, I've been speaking about it. The life of a believer is a life with a timetable. A life without a timetable is not the life of a human. The life of a believer is a very structured life. It's a very methodical life. It's a very calculated life. It's a very meaningful life. And this is how he ought to keep his life programmed. And that is why Allah has ordained prayer on prescribed time, that it regulates our day. So our day commences with Fajr, it ought to end with Isha, we retire to bed early, we rise early. This is how the life of a believer is. I was reading an article on siesta by a professor from the Oxford University, and it intrigued me because this is part of our rich teachings. And it just again adds value to the argument of discipline. Discipline. So the article suggests that people who take midday sleep, and they have a siesta for half an hour, it proves to be productive. They are much more productive compared to others who don't sleep. They're more vibrant, they're more meaningful, they're more focused, their cognitive abilities are more functional towards the latter part of the day. At midday you rest and you rejuvenate yourself, you have your power nap. So I'm like, obviously, that's a known fact. We all know this. It's not so deep and intricate and scientific. But then the article goes on to say, and this is what intrigued me, that they did a survey on people who sleep at midday for more than 30 minutes. They sleep for an hour and beyond. And they found that if you sleep for more than 30 minutes, it's counterproductive. People who sleep more than 30 minutes are more sluggish compared to others who don't sleep. Wow. So in other words, the sleep is necessary, but the time is essential. If you go beyond that, you lose it. And this just teaches us the need of discipline in our life. There has to be discipline. And I cry at this incident when Umar ibn Khattab was sitting in the courtyard of the masjid, and the Muslims were in active battle in Iskandariya. And at that time, Muawiyah ibn Khudayj returns with updates. So when he returns, it's midday and it's siesta time and Umar radiallahu anhu is resting. So he comes and he's like, no, I think I don't want to disturb and intrude and encroach in the privacy of Sayyidina Umar. So he backstabs. And then Umar radiallahu anhu gets up and Umar says, I got wind that Muawiyah has returned. He says, yes. So he said, summon him. So when he was ushered in, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu rebuked him and said that, listen, you came in, we anxiously awaiting updates, and then you delay the news, why wouldn't you inform me immediately? So he said, Umar, it was midday and you were sleeping and I didn't want to disturb your sleep. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, لَإِن نِمْتُ اللَّيْلَ ضَيَّعْتُ نَفْسِي وَلَإِن نِمْتُ النَّهَارَ ضَيَّعْتُ الرَّعِيَّةِ فَكَيْفَ النَّوْمْ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنِ O Muawiyah, if I sleep by night, when will I converse with my Creator? And if I sleep by day, when will I discharge the obligation of the subjects? With these two daunting tasks on my shoulders, you find me the time and I'll put my head on the pillow. My word, what a legacy, what a life lived, what a meaningful life. Leave the Muslims, see the non-Muslim writers that have written about the legendary Umar and the glory days of Islam, and what a ruler and what a man. Anyway, the slave girl of Abu Umama says, he put his head down, he fell off to sleep. And then it was the time of Dhuhr, so ayqadtuhu. I gave you the reference, I nudged him, he got up and he went for salah. In my heart, I said, you know what, he gave the charity, he has nothing left, but end of the day, the man is fasting. Let me borrow some money, so at least I can prepare some food. So, I borrow some money from someone, and I prepare some food. And then I said, let me just go tidy his bed up. She was the slave girl, she was a non-Muslim. Abdurrahman ibn Jabir makes mention it, Abu Nu'aym captures it in his hilya. She says, when I go to his bedside, فَإِذَا بِذَهَبٍ فَإِذَا بِذَهَبٍ I find chunks of gold at his bedside. So I'm like alarmed and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You know, it's always good to go in your closet and find money you forgot, but you never get it. That's the best thing that can happen. You had some dollars and you had some pounds and you know what, some euros, and you slipped up and whoa. On the reverse, you recall you had, and when you get there, there's nothing. Right? That's the irony. But you just so wish you had, you could stash it somewhere and forget about it. And in rainy season, you can pull it out. But I'm afraid it doesn't. It's in the back of your mind, subconscious mind. You know exactly where the money is. So she said to herself, مَا صَنَعَ الَّذِي صَنَعَ إِلَّا وَقَدْ وَثَقَ بِمَا خَلَّفَ Oh, okay. I know why the man was so generous, because he knew he had gold here, man. So he's giving the last dinar, like I'm thinking, wow, the man is so amazing, but he knew what he had. Anyway, I prepared the food, Maghrib time, the sun sets, he comes home, I laid the table, فَلَمَّا رَأَ السِّرَاجِ He sees the lantern, he sees the food. He says, هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِهِ This is amazing provision from Allah. So I then engage him and I say, that تَرَكْتَ هَذِهِ النَّفَقَ You leave behind this money and you don't even tell me about it. And I'm like, wow, you're so amazing, and rebuking you, and then you leave. So he says, وَأَيَّ نَفَقَ This is the narration exactly. What money are you talking about? So she says, come along. So as she takes him along to the room by the bed and he sees the chunk of gold, he reacts in absolute astonishment, which convinces her that this was miraculous. The narration goes on, فَقَطَعْتُ زُنَارِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ She was a non-Muslim at that time, but she was left compelled to accept the faith. Seeing the benefits of the generosity of her master, she broke the symbol of her former faith and she accepted Islam. If she said, this is how the Lord compensates on generosity, then I don't want to be one day without this faith. Ibn Jabir goes on to say, فَأَدْرَكْتُهَا فِي مَسْجِدِ حِمْسِ وَهِيَ تُعَلِّمُ النِّسَاءَ الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُّنَنَ وَتُفَقِّهُهُنَّ فِي الدِّينِ Time moves on. This reverse slave girl becomes liberated. She empowers herself. Ibn Jabir says, fate has it, I travel to Damascus. I come to Hims. I enter the masjid of Hims. In the courtyard of the masjid, I find there is a sister conducting dars of Quran and hadith to all women that have gathered and their numbers. On inquiry, I discover this was the former non-Muslim slave girl of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, whose generosity inspired her and brought a metamorphic change in her life, that she became a believer, a scholar, and an ambassador of the faith. One more narration in this regard. Bayhaqi makes mention of it. What did the Prophet say? Ma naqasat sadaqatum min malin. Charity will not decrease your wealth. Chapter close. Done. Are we trying to challenge or test or verify the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So somebody came to Bilal radiallahu anhu and he said, tell me, akhbirni an nafaqati Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spend? So Bilal radiallahu anhu said, whenever it was the need to spend, that was my task. It was my domain. So whenever any person would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask for help, he would يَأْمُرُنِي فَأَنْتَلِقْ. He would instruct me and I would go. فَأَسْتَقْرِضْ. I would then take a loan on the name of the Prophet of Allah to aid the help, to aid the victim. So there was no money. The Prophet would say, Bilal, go take a loan and then we'll pay him. And then I would go and borrow the money. فَأَنْتَلِقْ فَأَسْتَقْرِضْ فَأَشْتَرِي الْبُرَدَ الْبُرْدَ وَالشَّيْءَ فَأَكْسُوهُ وَأُطْعِمُهُ. I'll probably buy him some upper garment or some cloth, or get him some edibles and give it to him. And time moved on like this, until one day, a non-Muslim came to me and he said, listen Bilal, radiallahu anhu, I see you always borrowing money to help the poor. La tastaqrid min ahad, inna indi sa'a. Don't borrow from anyone. I'm stable, I've got money, I will help you all. So I said, okay, that's a kind gesture and I'll borrow from you. So I started borrowing from this non-Muslim whenever there was a need and there was a call. Bayhaqi makes mention of the narration. The Prophet said, Bilal, so and so needs. And this is the Prophet of Allah had these type of people that you could just go and they would assist. So I would go to the person and he would give me the money. Once I went, he gave me, we assisted the individual. And then I was sitting and it was just about time of salah. And I stood up to call out the adhan. فَإِذَا الْمُشْرِكُ فِي عِصَابَةٍ مِّنَ التُّجَّارِ. I see this person from whom I was borrowing money, non-Muslim, he's advancing in a group of others. So he came to me and he said, Ya Habshi, in a very derogatory way, in a very condescending way. He said, hey, are you so and so? I'm like, yes. He said, you know you owe me money. Yeah, well, you said I can borrow from you. كَمْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الشَّهْرِ. How many days left to the end of the month? So I said, أَرْبَعُ لَيَالٍ. It's only 4 days left. You know, in English they say, some people, they have too much month left at the end of their money. Hello? Did you get that? Some people have too much month left at the end of their money. Money is exhausted at mid-month and we still got 2 weeks left. And then you're excited, okay, you know what, there's a leap year and it's February. Wow, at least it's 28 days. There are 4 days left. أَخُذُكَ بِالَّذِي عَلَيْكَ. After 4 days, I'll take you to task. فَإِنِّي لَمْ أُعْطِكَ الَّذِي أَعْطَيْتُكَ لِكَرَامَتِكَ عَلَيَّ. I haven't given you the money that I've given you out of respect and dignity, but I've given you so that I can exploit you and abuse you. Sayyidina Bilal said, أَخَذَنِي فِي. They were loyal, they were faithful sahaba. If it would have been anybody else, I don't need this music in my life. I don't need to contend with this. It's not for me. It's to help others. Tough luck. You can go. Go direct to the Prophet of Allah. I'm out of this whole thing. He said, I was so angered and enraged. But I said, it was a loan taken on the name of the Prophet of Allah. So I'll just stand and I'll just manage myself. And I will not retort to him in any way. I'm not going to be impulsive. I'm just going to keep myself calm and composed and calculated. I said, let the 4 days lapse and I will deal with your money. I came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I called out the adhan. The salah was performed. I said, Ya Rasulullah, إن المشرك الذي ذكرت لك أني كنت أتدين منه قال لي كذا وكذا وليس عندك ما يقضى عني ولا عندي وهو فاضحي. O Prophet of Allah, the very man who proposed that we can take money from him, suddenly he turns around and now he tells me that he wants his money and he's demanding his due. The truth be told, you don't have, I don't have, O Prophet of Allah. So if you allow me, can I go to one of the Ansars and ask them and if they can help me and we can just, you know, settle this debt. Nabi Sallallahu said, Bilal, you just go home, Allah will make a means. You just go home, Allah will make a means. So I come home, I sleep, I put my bag down, my sword down, فَاسْتَقْبَلْتُ بِوَجْهِ الْأُفُقِ, and I'm facing the horizon, and I am, you know, overwhelmed by this anxiety, because time is running out, and I have this debt to meet, and it's the debts of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَكُلَّمَا نِمْتُ إِنْتَبَهْتُ فَكُلَّمَا نِمْتُ إِنْتَبَهْتُ, I put my head down, I get up. You know, if you sleep in at the boarding gate, how you sleep in, you know, every little while you're up, and when you hop onto the flight, you can't sleep. فَكُلَّمَا نِمْتُ إِنْتَبَهْتُ, every time I fall off, I get up. فَاسْتَقْبَلْتُ بِوَجِهِ, because I see it's still night, until I seen the crack of dawn, and I seen the flush of dawn. So I got up in my panic and my anxiety, and I want to call out the, can you imagine that moment of Medina when Bilal was calling out the Adhan? Can you imagine it? We go now, and the nostalgia, it's so nostalgic, those emotions, those feelings, that ambience. And this is Allah's Nabi in Bukhari in first volume. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu sketches the image. وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ إِذَا انْشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُوهُ أَرَانَا الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُوهُ يبيت يجافي جنبه عن فراشه إذا استثقلت بالمشركين المضاجع. واو واو واو. وفينا رسول الله, and amongst us was the Nabi of Allah. إذا انشق معروف من الفجر الساطع, it's the early hours of the morning, it's the crack of dawn, it's the time of tahajjud. أرانا الهدى بعد العمى, he showed us the guidance after we were deviated. فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ, we convinced on the veracity of his message. We sitting at the precincts of the Kaaba. It's the dawn prayer. It's the Prophet of Allah. It's the galaxy of Sahaba. It's the Adhan of Bilal. And it's the recitation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the pinnacle of nobility. It's the apex of virtue. It's the height of excellency. Just beyond words. I get up in the morning, I call out the Adhan. Someone said, Ajib Rasulullah, Bilal, the Prophet of Allah is calling you. I run to him. He says, Bilal, Alam tamurra bil raka'ib al arba, did you see those four camels laden with goods? I'm like, yes. He said, Ya Allah sent it last night. I'm subhanallah. I call out the Adhan, the prayer is done. I take these four camels and I go to Baqi. My word, when I read this, I don't know what happens to me. Sayyidina Bilal, the Muaddin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in compliance. And this was the message of the Prophet of Allah. These were loans that were incurred to help people. Nothing of his own. He says, I go and I engage in business, whole day, buying, selling. Whatever loads were there, someone had given him. Until I settle all the debts, and it's late afternoon, I come back to the Prophet of Allah. I say, قَضَى اللَّهُ كُلَّ دَيْنٍ كَانَ عَلَيْكَ. This was Sahaba. Oh Prophet of Allah, good news. Allah has settled all your debts. Not I settled it. I just gave a talk the other day when I landed now in Canada, and then we drove to Windsor. So my first Jummah talk was at the university, and they were all academic students. And I said to them in a nutshell, I said, MashaAllah, you have your qualifications and your degree. If I can tell you two quick things, and they're like, please, because the talk was short, and then I had to rest, and I had a lecture at night. I said, a believer is one, and that's the rich teachings of Islam. He credits all his accomplishments to his Lord, and he attributes all his failures to himself. That's a believer. That's a believer. And today it's the direct opposite, that we credit all our accomplishments to ourselves and we direct our failures to Allah.
مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ وأرسلناك للناس رسولا وكفى بالله شهيدا ما أصابك من حسنة فمن الله.
Whatever good, whatever prosperity, whatever growth, whatever achievement, whatever accomplishment, it's from your Lord. Whatever setback, whatever failure, whatever difficulty is because of a wrong that you have done. And in Bayanul Quran it's written, the Mufassir writes, when you match the bounty of Allah in your life, you will not find any virtue in your life to warrant that favor. And when you look at your trials and your challenges, you will always find adequate mistakes to warrant those difficulties. Wow, did you get that, my brother? When you look at the grace and the boon, Allah, you bless me with health. Allah, you bless me with such a good spouse. There's nothing in my life that I can say that I got this and I deserve this because of this good. There's nothing. There's nothing. The root of gratitude is to concede that you don't deserve what you have. And the root of arrogance is to perceive yourself deserving of the bounties. The Prophet ﷺ said, when you appear before Allah and your book of deeds are open, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسًا. When the book of deeds are open and you find it written paradise, then praise Allah and thank Allah that He gave it to you. And if you find that the record suggests otherwise, then blame no one but yourself. That's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسًا. Anyway, I came back. I said, oh, Prophet of Allah, Allah has settled all your debts. أَبَقِيَ شَيْءٍ, anything left? He said, yes. أُقِيَانِ وَنِسْ, 2.5 dinars. You know what the Prophet of Allah said? أُنْذُرْ أَنْ تُرِيحَنِي مِنْهُمَا فَلَسْتُ بِدَاخِلٍ عَلَى أَهْلِي. Bilal, that 2.5 dinars, gold coins, you need to find someone who is deserving and you need to dispense and spend it. Because as long as I own that money, I don't want to go home. Bilal radiallahu anhu said, whole day I looked, I didn't find anyone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in the masjid. Next morning after Fajr, he said, Bilal, I said, oh Nabi of Allah, I still didn't find. He said, okay, then I'm staying in the masjid, you stay in the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed, I stayed. In the evening, Ja'ana Rakiban, 2 riders were passing by and they were not in a good state. So we bought some food, we clad them, and I said, O Nabi of Allah, قَدْ أَرَاحَكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ. That's an amazing word. After I gave the last dime in charity, he said, Allah has freed you now. Allah has relaxed you now. Everything given, Allah has given you raha. Allah has given you peace. My word. قَدْ أَرَاحَكَ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا. Allah has given you. Sayyidina Bilal said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, now I'm going home. So Bilal said, O Nabi of Allah, I was with you all. Can I follow behind you? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come behind me. فَاتَّبَعْتُهُ حَتَّى أَتَى مَبِيتَهُ فَسَلَّمَ عَلَى امْرَأَةٍ عَلَى امْرَأَةٍ. He said, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to each spouse and he greeted them and greeted them. And I tagged along and I greeted. My message time is running out. I only spoke about the first declaration. And we've lost an hour. Hopefully we gained it. مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, charity doesn't decrease wealth. Second thing, وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّا. Whenever you forgive anyone, or you pardon anyone, Allah will increase your honor, your status, and your rank. Someone said in the English language, I forgive others, not because I'm weak, but because I'm strong enough to know that humans make mistakes. I forgive others, not because I'm weak, but because I'm strong enough to know that others make mistakes. You know, my brother, I give you a simple analogy. I hold this phone in my hand. I'm not going to talk about the harms of the radiation. That's a separate topic, right? But anyway, so I'm holding this. It's light. It's not heavy. It's simple. It's easy. But what's going to happen? The longer I hold the phone, the heavier it becomes. And gradually my hand starts dropping down. Because the weight, the period, the duration makes it heavier. The weight itself remains, the duration makes it heavier. How long are we going to carry these grudges in our hearts? How long are we going to hold on to this? Forgive others. forgive others, they might not deserve the pardon, you deserve the peace. You deserve the peace. Sleep peacefully. Why are you cooking your thoughts? Fudayl ibn Ayyad said, إِذَا أَتَاكَ رَجُلٌ يَشْكُو إِلَيْكَ رَجُلًا. Someone comes to you complaining, oh, he's so and so. Tell him, okay, brother, u'fu anhu, forgive him. He says, no, لا يحتمل قلبي العفو. It's not easy to forgive. So he said, okay, then take revenge. I told you forgive. You said, no, I cannot. So take revenge. But remember one thing Fudayl ibn Ayyad said, when you take revenge, as long as you take revenge proportionate to the affliction on you, then you the victim and Allah's help is with you. As soon as you go above the mark, now you the perpetrator and he's the victim. Now Allah's help is with him and not with you. Did you get that, my brother? So somebody did something to me, you the victim. Now you got to respond, or you have the right to respond. And it's more than obvious that when you respond, because most of us, unfortunately, we don't respond, we react. We react. We don't respond. Response will be calculated. Reaction will be impulsive. And when we're impulsive, we're going to go beyond the mark. And when we go beyond the mark, then now he is a victim and Allah's help is with him. He is the oppressed and I'm the oppressor. And then Fudayl ibn Ayyad said, remember, صَاحِبُ الْعَفْوِ يَنَامُ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ وَصَاحِبُ الْإِنْتِقَامِ يَتَقَلَّبُ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ. The one who forgives, he sleeps a peaceful sleep. And the one who plots a revenge, he has insomniac nights. He suffers insomnia. He has restless nights because his own mind, I'll show him, you know, I need to tell him. Tomorrow I hope I meet him. I'm going to go to that mall. I want to bump into him. Yeah, the whole day he's like, oh, working himself up. See, it's humans for us to have our differences. So, like a couple getting married, so he said, oh, Sheikh, pray for me that me and my wife don't argue. I'm like, brother, like, relax. That's not, I told you, right, when you argue with your junior, you count till 10 before you reply. When you argue with your senior, you count till 20 before you reply. So you give yourself time, space, you calculate yourself. You argue with your partner, you keep counting. You keep counting. That's it. Chapter closed. You're going nowhere. Nothing. So I'm like, brother, that's not possible and that's not expected of you. Nobody says like, make dua, Ramadan is coming, this Ramadan, just pray inshallah, I don't want to feel hungry. No, that's not possible and that's not rewarding. In fact, when you feel hungry, you reward it more. So to say, I don't want to argue, that's not possible. We are social creatures, we connect with each other and we have our differences. The thing is to have the maturity to dissolve it. That's what we call in for. So the co-wives of the Prophet ﷺ, Tabaqat ibn As'ad, they had their differences. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Umm Habiba, prior to her death, she called me and she said, see, قَدْ كَانَ يَكُونُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الضَّرَائِرِ. Myself and you, we were wives to the Prophet ﷺ, we had our differences. I ask you to forgive me. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I have forgiven you, may Allah forgive you. She then communicated it to all the other spouses and each one of them forgave. And that's the message, learn to forgive. It's always better to forgive and to forget than to remember and hate. Always better to forgive, and that's it. The second part, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. We all know the tale of the two eldest brothers of the first ancestor of mankind, and these are the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, Qabil and Habil. Again, it was the element of jealousy of Qabil over Habil, that the wife of his brother was very beautiful, very attractive, and he couldn't digest this. So he started plotting against his brother, and he said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. That I'll teach you a lesson, and you don't know me, and you know what, I'll kill you. So the brother responded by saying, I'm not going to stoop so low. I'm not going to go tit for tat. I'm not going to reciprocate hostility with animosity. harshness with antagonism. That's not the way I behave. And Ayub Sakhtiani says, and listen to this, it's amazing. He said, أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَخَذَ, and the best part of it is, that between the two brothers, the one who surrendered, who was soft, who was passive, he was stronger. It's not he was weaker. He was stronger. But this is strength. This is strength. This is strength, is to contain and manage yourself and not to vent yourself. So Ayub Sakhtiani says, أَوَّلُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ لَعُثْمَانِ. The first person who revived these sentiments of Habil in this ummah was Sayyidina Uthman. You remember the very tragic moment in our history when the rebels had surrounded the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu and they denied him access. They denied him water from the very well which he purchased and made available. And he said, أَرَى الْمَوْتَ لَا يُبْقِي عَزِيزًا وَلَمْ يَدَعْ لِعَادٍ مِلَاكًا فِي الْبِلَادِ وَمُرْتَقًا يُبَيِّتُ أَهْلُ الْحِسْنِ وَالْحِسْنُ مُغْلَقٌ وَيَأْتِي الْجِبَالَ فِي شِمَارِيخِهَا الْعُلَاءُ. And Abdullah ibn Salam had delivered the historical khutbah at the compound of Uthman, alerting and cautioning the rebels that if you claim the life of a prophet, the minimum lives that will be lost will be 70,000. And if you kill a successor of a prophet, then 35,000 lives will be lost. Abdullah ibn Salam said, we came close to the door or the wall of the compound. Sayyidina Uthman was inside. He said, Allahumma ajma ummata Muhammad. Allahumma ajma. Oh Allah, you unite them. Allah, I have forgiven them. You unite them. Allah, you unite them. اللهم إني أستعديك عليهم وأستعينك على جميع أموري وأسألك الصبر في ما ابتليتني. Oh Allah, they plotting my assassination for a crime I have not committed. I have done no wrong, oh Allah. Oh Allah, I ask you to defend me. Oh Allah, I ask you to give me strength. And listen to this statement. Hamad ibn Zayd says, my words. رحم الله أمير المؤمنين حوصر نيفا وأربعين ليلة لم تبد منه كلمة يكون لمبتدع فيها حجة. Generally, at a moment of anger and rage, momentarily we lose our composure. We use vulgar, we use obscene, we use unpleasant language. We give off the wrong message to our children. In anger, my dad swears. In anger, my mom swears. Well, then I guess it legitimizes vulgar amidst a feud. This is the kind of body language we throw out. Hamad ibn Zayd says, may Allah bless the soul of Uthman. He was under house arrest for 40 days. In 40 days, not once, under the pressure, did he utter any word or letter, vulgarity, obscene or otherwise, that anyone can latch onto it and justify it. That when you're having an argument, you can say something wrong. In that entire period, regardless of the emotion, regardless of the mounting pressure, Sayyidina Uthman remained calm and composed. Abu Qatada Ansari said, I came to the compound, I knocked on the door, I said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, I want to go for Hajj. You are the Amir, you are still breathing, you are alive. Nasta'dinuhu fil Hajj. Would you allow me to go? He said, you may leave. I exited from the compound. فَاسْتَقْبَلَنِ الْحَسَنِ. I met Hassan radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was armed, head to toe. So he told Abu Qatada, come with me back. Let's go in. So I said, I just came from there. He said, no, come back. So I went back into the compound. Hassan, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, told Sayyidina Uthman, O Uthman, مُرْنِي بِمَا شِئْتَ. You issue the decree, and I'll engage these rebels, and I will fight them single-handed, tooth and nail, and I will deal with them. And what were the words of Uthman radiallahu anhu? Wallahi la atawakka bil mu'mineen, walakin uqil mu'mineen bi nafsi. Allah is my witness how I cried when I read this. He said, I will never shield my life by risking the lives of others, but I will risk my life to protect the lives of others. I'm not going to shield myself by risking the others. You go in the front so that I am safe. I will risk my life to bring safety and security. So then we said to him, إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَمْرِكَ كَوْنٌ فَمَا تَأْمُرُ. Allah forbid if things go the way they seem. What's your command to us? He said, أُنْظُرُوا مَا أَجْمَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَجْمَعُهُمْ عَلَى ضَلَالًا. Reflect over the unity of this ummah and the grounds on which they are united, because Allah will not allow this ummah to deviate. So keep yourself on that focus. We move forward one to other incidents in this regard. What's the second message? مَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. That whenever you forgive, Allah will increase you in honor. Sometimes it takes a simple argument, or sometimes insensitivity on the part of one that can lead into something very ugly. Tabrani makes mention of the narration. The Aus and the Khazraj were rivals pre-Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and united them. They became brothers. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. You were on the brink of hell, Allah rescued you. Aus and Khazraj now become brothers, united, they sit in together, and they discuss in. Now you know, amongst the Arabs, poetry was intrinsic to them. Not extrinsic, intrinsic. Part of their nature, part of their temperament. They could sing couplets freely, openly, casually, without applying their mind diligently. Today if you ask a person, he needs to be by the ocean, and blue skies, and birds chirping, and sunny weather, and then probably he'll compose one stanza. You know, at its best. Right? But the Sahaba were very natural in their flow. So they were sitting. فَتَمَثَّلَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْأَوْسِ بِبَيْتٍ فِيهِ هَجَاءُ الْخَزْرَجِ وَتَمَثَّلَ رَجُلٌ مِّنَ الْخَزْرَجِ بِبَيْتٍ فِيهِ هَجَاءُ الْأَوْسِ فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَتَمَثَّلْ هَذَا بِبَيْتٍ وَهَذَا بِبَيْتٍ حَتَّى أَخَذُوا أَصْلِحَتَهُمْ. So sometimes you're having a social get-together, you're having a barbecue, you're having a family function, and maybe just one person throws out an insensitive comment, or he throws out a remark, or he's a bit sarcastic, and it becomes a squabble between the kids or the grandchildren, and then it gets elevated to the parents, and then it goes up, and then it has a nasty consequences. So the Sahaba are sitting, when one amongst them, radiyallahu anhum, may Allah be pleased with them, one of them just recalled a stanza in which the opposite tribe was somewhat ridiculed. So he just sang it. But obviously it was not in good taste. So the other group retorted. And then this one responded, and that one retorted. And from one poem to another, Tabrani's narration, it became ugly, it became bitter, it became sensitive, and they picked up their weapons. And the Prophet of Allah heard about this, so he came running. And he said that you've accepted Islam. We're done with this. We're done with this. And he read the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُم مُسْلِمُونَ. And as soon as he calmed the situation, and he quelled the situation, and he diffused the situation, they embraced each other and forgave. The point I'm mentioning through this, it's human for us to err. It's human for us to make a mistake. And sometimes inadvertently or consciously we utter things, and it does create a bit of unpleasantness. But let's have the courage and the strength to go and apologize. It's going to happen. We're going to have this. You're not going to be able to tiptoe so sensitively. Of course, you don't do it deliberately and maliciously, and you don't display obnoxious behavior. But it does happen to the best of us at times. We might inadvertently. Look at this narration. It's in Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu, the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha, the son of Asma radiallahu anha, the son of Zubair ibn al-Awam. So Aisha and Asma were sisters. Their father was Abu Bakr, but their mother was different. I read this in few narrations. So Abdullah ibn Zubair used to give a lot of money in charity. So he used to give his aunt Aisha radiallahu anha as well. Now you know, some people when they give you charity, they want to know what you did with it. Then keep it. I'm not saying there shouldn't be a monitoring. You need to know your money is going to reliable sources, because today, unfortunately, you know, things do happen. But I'm saying is, you've done it. You've done your amal. You've done your action. Alhamdulillah, it's good. I have seen people, wallah, that can give. There's a good friend of mine, may Allah bless him. I have quoted this incident so many times. He's got an amazing practice. And I've seen it not once or twice or thrice. I don't know how many times. This man loves to spend. I can swear none of us has that ecstasy in receiving as he has in giving. Right? So he's got this amazing practice. Whenever he makes a commitment, he makes a commitment of $10,000 or $15,000, and he makes, mashallah, big commitments. Allah has given him good muscle. Then the day you come and collect, he'll give you double that. Or, you know, one and a half of that. Now, we know the other way around, when people make a commitment and they give you half of that. That one we know, right? There's no shortage of that, right? There's ample people like that. Yo, you know what, really, sorry, man. No, I was talking rupees. You thought dollars. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. Apologies for that. So one day I asked him, I said, Haji Saab, why do you do this? You give people and then you make a commitment and you give more. He said, whenever I surprise people, my Allah never fails to surprise me. And he said, I've seen this in my life. I surprise someone today and then Allah surprises me. And I have actually developed this in me. Like, if I want a surprise from my Allah, I know I must just surprise someone. Tomorrow I'm getting my surprise. Subhanallah. There's a friend of mine in Canada. He tells me this amazing story. We're driving down to Niagara and we're having an event there at Niagara earlier this year. And he's telling me when he came and mashallah Allah has given him a lot of wealth. So he said, I opened up my business and I made a vow to Allah. The first day my takings, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to give it in charity. He said, I open up my doors. The first day my business, my property is $10,000. I'm like, my Allah, this is now a real test. He said, I will not forget that day. I told myself, listen, you've made a vow to Allah. Honor your vow and give this money. He said, I went to this institution and that was the only money. It was my first day. It was my infancy state. I gave that money. And subhanallah, after that, Allah gave him, you know, acres and acres of land. He has property. He's in the real estate and he has many things. But he said, that was the day I needed to make. And he mentioned a very amazing thing. He said, people give from what they have, which is good and meritorious, but very few give from what they love, and that really gives you the closeness of Allah. He said, give from whatever you have, you'll get the reward, but give what you love, and that's when you'll get the closeness. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. Give from what you love. And then whatever you give, Allah knows. So Abdullah ibn Zubair gave Aisha radiallahu anha a lot of money. And Aisha radiallahu anha used to just give and give. She was the wife of Nabi alayhi salam. So when he heard about this, he said, لَتَنْتَهِيَنَّ Aisha أَوْ لَأَحْجُرَنَّ عَلَيْهَا. Well, Aisha better start going slow the way she's spending, otherwise I'm going to limit her allowance. Now, obviously, that was not the right statement. Abdullah ibn Zubair, he was a Sahabi, he was a nephew, he was giving, and Aisha radiallahu anha was spending, and he made, what I'm saying, we humans, and that's the beauty of our faith, it's pragmatic, it's user-friendly, it shows you the real scenario. You know, that husband, that wife, that baby in the stroller, in the mall, all smiling, hunky-dory, the only time they smiled was when they took that picture. Even they're not smiling. That's not the real life. There isn't a smile. Those homes are breaking up. And you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, I've noticed this. I was giving a talk on marriage, and I said, unfortunately, marriages are just breaking up. The young ones dissolving it. They don't want to hang on. No, I don't want to last. I want to break it up. A brother phoned me and said, please speak to my daughter. I wanted to get married. So then, she's of age. Allah's given him wealth. I went, I sat down. She's like, nah, I don't need to put up with his nonsense. Like, whose nonsense is that? Well, whoever the guy might be. Okay, but now why nonsense? Nah, my life is going perfectly well. The challenge today and the youth is the bar of expectation is too high. So each one entering with a very high expectation. So nobody, I want to go in, he needs to. So like, I got married, how's it? Now I'm disappointed. Why? Yeah, well, you know what? I thought, Who told you to think? Wallah, I thought she's going to be like this. I thought he's going to be like that. This is the problem. The pretext is elevating the bar of hope too high. So the young ones are breaking up their marriage, and the old folks, because they come from that traditional value, so they don't break up the marriage. But many of the old folks, I'm afraid, there's no real marriage left there either. So there's no bond, separate room, eating on their own time, do their own things. But now, you know what? The funeral must leave from here. So I'm giving this talk here and I'm saying, you know, many of the old folks are in the union but not in the marriage. Like there's 10 old folks at the back, they're doing like this here. I'm like, uncle, you're giving it away. Uncle, keep your secret. Like, you know, I didn't mean you. I mean, old, I'm not you, like, uncle. He's like, yeah, you know that, you know. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Wallah, that's the reality. Go in the young homes, it's broken. Go in the old homes, they're not going to hang out. The young ones, like, I need to part ways. The old folks is now, like, you know what, now where are we going to change it now? Just leave it. And, you know, somebody had this picture on his profile. The 5-year-old is phoning her grandparents and telling her grandparents, please come take your kids, I'm tired of them. Hello, did you get it? The 5-year-old is calling her grandma. It's like, I'm tired of your kids, man, my parents, I'm done with them. Pick them up and go. So anyway, coming back to it, right, let's try and wrap up. So Aisha radiallahu anha was giving, so Abdullah ibn Zubair said, she better go slow or else I'm going to limit. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Awa qalat, the hadith of Bukhari, did he really say this? So they said, yes. Lillahi alayya nadrun alla ukallima ibn Zubair. By Allah, I'm not going to speak to this man. By Allah, I'm not going to speak to this man. My point of saying forgiveness is, we are humans. These things will happen in our life. It's bound to happen. We are mortals. Fallibility is part of our nature. But look at them, how they moved forward. فَلَمَّا طَالَتِ الْهِجْرَةِ Abdullah ibn Zubair realized that that was a mistake on my part. It was uncalled for me to tell Aisha radiallahu anha that. Obviously, he didn't say it in her presence, but the news got to her. He was now disturbed that, listen, Aisha radiallahu anha, my aunt, my maternal aunt, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need to reconcile. So he goes to Miss, we got enough people who can sue for you. We got very few people who can reconcile for you. Listen, I believe you got into an argument. Yeah, here's my card. We can sue for character assassination. We can sue for defamation. We can take him to the cleaners. Legally speaking, this guy's got no leg to stand on. Meet me in my office and I can tell you, you know what, we've got grounds here, we've got grounds. And you take him to the cleaners. That's the language we have. They had people who could facilitate. Back in the days, when two people had an argument, then the third one was coming to stop it. Now when two people have an argument, the third one is like, good, and whoops, there he goes on social media. When two had an argument, the third came and separated. Now the third one sensationalizes it. This is why this ummah's vessel is knocking one iceberg after another. This is why it's sinking. Don't make a rift into a gulf. Reconcile, unite, patch up. So he spoke to Miswar ibn Makhrama and Abdurrahman ibn Aswad ibn Abd Yaghuth. وَكِلَاهُمَا مِنْ بَنِي زُهْرَى. They belong to Banu Zuhra. Banu Zuhra was the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ's mother. My brother, my heart bleeds. And I will die saying this. The ummah today doesn't know the family of the Prophet ﷺ's parents. The ummah doesn't know the tribes of the spouses of the Prophet ﷺ. It's one pain that I don't know his family. But it's a bigger pain that I know everybody else's family. It's one pain that I don't have the attributes of a believer. But it's another pain that I embody the traits of a disbeliever. Basic elementary aspects. Banu Zuhra was the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ's mother. So Abdullah ibn Zubair comes and he speaks to them and says, please man, listen, I need you. You need to go to Aisha radiallahu anha. She's a woman of prominence and status and recognition. And I know I said this here. Please, I need to patch this up. So they come. They knock on the door. They said, Anadkhul, can we come? She says, yes. So they say, Kulluna, can all of us come? She says, yes. And she doesn't know that with them is Abdullah ibn Zubair. She doesn't know. So they enter. As they enter, دخل الحجابة, the hadith of Bukhari, وَاعْتَنَقَهَا, Abdullah ibn Zubair goes behind the curtain and he falls on his aunt. because it was his aunt, so there was no hijab for them, there was hijab. And he falls on her. وَاتَّفِقَا يُنَاشِدَانِهَا. And from the back of the veil, Miswar ibn Makhrama and Abdurrahman ibn Aswad is like, oh, our mother Aisha, we've come on behalf of your nephew, and here he is. Please forgive him. That was a mistake on his part. Aisha radiallahu anha cries, and she says, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ وَالنَّذْرُ الشَّدِيدُ. I've made this vow, and surely the vow is stern. But yes, indeed, not to speak is not the correct way. For the pleasure of Allah, I have forgiven you. And then he hugs her, and she cries, and she cries. And then, أَعْتَقَتْ فِي نَذْرِهَا أَرْبَعِينَ رَقَبَةً. She then liberates 40 slaves. That, oh Allah, forgive me that this ugliness happened because of what he said, and we didn't speak. But that's the spirit. And kullama, whenever she used to recall this incident, tabki, she used to cry, hatta tabulla dumu'uha khimaraha, that her tears used to actually, you know, her entire scarf used to get drenched and soaked out of excessive crying, sobbing and wailing. I'll leave you with the last aspect and we conclude. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ. Whoever will display humility, Allah will elevate him. Three things. I mean, who can summarize such a formula in three words other than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ. Whoever displays humility, Allah will elevate him. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَدَعُونَ أَفْضَلَ الْعِبَادَةِ. I don't know why people forsake the greatest act of worship. When she was asked what, she said humility. Raja ibn Haywa says, I spent the night by Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, bittu layla inda Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So while we were sitting, the lantern switched off. So I got up to light the lantern. So I was the guest and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was the host. So he told me, no, sit. And then he got up, and then he poured the oil, and he lights the candle, and he lights the lantern, and then he sits down. He says, قُمْتُ وَأَنَا عُمَرُ بْنُ عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ وَجَلَسْتُ وَأَنَا عُمَرُ بْنُ عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ وَلُؤْمُمْ بِالرَّجُلِ إِنِ اسْتَخْدَمَ ضَيْفًا. Listen, I am the ruler. He was the ruler of the time, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He was a great man. Someone praised him in the most amazing way. He said, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكَ كَانَتِ الْخِلَافَةُ زَيْنًا لَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ زَيْنُ الْخِلَافَةِ. That generally people feel honored by the post of leadership. You're so amazing that you adorn the post by your position. That your position gives honor to the location. That is how great you are. So he was a very amazing person. So he said, I was sitting and I'm Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. I got up and I on the candle or the light and I sat down and I'm still Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. By me doing a simple job or a mean job, I don't lose my position. It doesn't make me any less. It doesn't drop me. If I get up and I do this, or if I approach my employee and I don't insist on him to come here, it doesn't change me. In fact, it makes better of you. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, at night he would go and fetch the water to make wudu. So someone said, لو أمرت بعض الخدم. Listen, it's night time, it's late. Why do you burden yourself for wudu? Let's call one of the servants. He said, إِنَّ اللَّيْلَ لَهُمْ يَسْتَرِحُونَ فِيهِ. Just as I like to rest at night, the night belongs to them to rest as well. As much as they might help me in the day, in their private time, I don't want to disturb them. Wow. Wow. Someone came to, Jubair ibn Nufair makes mention of it, that we were sitting, Umar ibn Khattab was there. So somebody said to Umar ibn Khattab, مَا رَأَيْنَا رَجُلًا أَقْضَى بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا أَقْوَلَ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا خَيْرًا بَعْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْكُ. Oh Umar, honestly, I didn't see a man who executed justice more than you. I didn't see a man who was more severe on the hypocrites than you. وَلَا أَشَدَّ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ مِنْكَ. So honestly, my opinion, you're greater than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You're greater. If somebody comes and whispers in my ear, brothers, just 1 minute, I think the brother has something to say. Sorry, you said I'm greater. Oh, okay, yeah, I don't know, he's just saying something about that's where the world is. And that the noble companions, they deflected praise and they embraced criticism. We deflect criticism. When somebody is talking to you, no, you, not me, why are you looking at me? When it comes to criticism, then the lenses are focused in every direction. So here they sit in, somebody is telling Umar, you greater than Abu Bakr. So Awf ibn Malik said, kadabtum wallah. You speak in a lie, brother. Wallahi ra'ayna khayran minhu. In front of Umar, during the period of Umar, he could say this. No fear of treason. No fear of violation. No, no, no. Wallah, we've seen people far greater than Umar ibn Khattab. So Umar said, of course, and who are you referring to? He said, I'm referring to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar said, صَدَقَ عَوْفٌ وَكَذَبْتُمْ وَاللَّهِ كَانَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ أَطْيَبْ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ وَأَنَا أَضَلُّ مِنْ بَعِيرِ أَهْلِي. Abu Bakr was more fragrant than musk, and me, I'm more deviant than the camel in the house. Salman radiallahu anhu was the governor of Madain. A person walks into Medina, he doesn't know that the governor is, hey brother, come here. So he takes along, and he realized the man didn't realize that this is who he was. So he gives him a load and he says, carry. So Salman radiallahu anhu puts it and he moves along. As he's moving along, people are Amirul Mu'mineen, Salman, Salman. So this man is like, oh, whoa, who am I doing this to? He said, please forgive me and drop the load. Sayyidina Salman said, Nawaitu fihi niyya. I have made an intention that I'm going to carry your load till home. There's no way I'm going to drop it any earlier. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ. The Prophet of Allah is entering Makkah. We end on this hadith and the one just after that. The Prophet of Allah is entering Makkah, the conqueror of Makkah, the very land from which he was compelled to leave due to the intense hostility of the infidels. He had to take shelter by night and he had to leave. Allah has turned the tables. He's coming as the conqueror. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما. He's entering. People are tiptoeing to see him. The narration goes on. The more they tiptoeing, the more he's dropping his head. My brother, you called up to take an award. You call, and life is fickle. Life is fickle. Those that praise you today, they criticize you tomorrow. Those that champion you today, tomorrow they mock you. This is life. Praise is from Allah. Praise is from, if Allah has praised you, then that's worthy of praise. But the praise of people back and forth, up and down, it's fickle. Hatta anna usnunahu layakadu yamassu wasitat ar-rahli. The narration goes, the more they tiptoe in, and he's the conqueror, the more his head is dropping, that his blessed chin is flush on the back of the camel. That's how low he is. He goes for Hajj. The hoda, the seat in which the Prophet ﷺ was seated, was covered with a cloth, la tusawi arba'ata darahim, the value of which was not more than 4 dirham. You know, sometimes a person is traveling first class, and he's got to keep his boarding pass here to show first class this way. Yeah. Yeah, hurry brother. Yeah, yeah. Like 10 hours flight. And by the way, this was a 3-hour flight. Like, how, like where? Hide it, man. Hide it. What's it? Where are we going? How long? So he's got to drop his keyring here to show. Oh, wow. Branded, man. Awesome. Amazing. Yeah, see the time. Yeah. Yeah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hawda is covered with a cloth not more than 4 dirhams. Allahumma ja'alhu hajjan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. Allah, let it not be that in my hajj there's any act of boastfulness, any act of ostentation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it easy for us on this earth. We ask Allah that He makes us amongst those fortunate individuals that can internalize these beautiful teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم لك الحمد كالذي نقول ولك الحمد خيرا مما نقول. لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك
ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك وزد وتحنن وترحم على حبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وعيوننا من الخيانة. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم اجعل أولادنا أبرارا أتقياء وأنبتهم وإيانا في الإسلام نباتا حسنا. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خيري الدنيا والآخرة، فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.